Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Party.
Yay, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, about just over a year.
Just a little bit over a year, yeah, because it was this time last year that we were lamenting the death of the festival we were supposed to be going to.
Well, it was, but we never actually got a chance to do that on podcast.
No, we didn't.
It just sort of happened. I think we recorded all the episodes,
mm-hmm.
and then
just as we were about to put the fourth one out,
the last of that batch. Yeah,
that was when we found out via Twitter and Facebook that the whole thing had collapsed.
So Safe as Milk didn't happen. Mm. Consequently, we didn't record an episode at it.
No, because how could we?
We weren't there.
No, now there was everyone else.
So, I mean, the four of us went to a cottage for a weekend and recorded some ambient electronica.
Ambient
electronica. Ambivalent electronica.
That was definitely what it was.
Yeah, which we haven't had a chance to finish or release yet. But,
but yeah, so keep watching the skies for shovels and honeysuckle.
It will happen. It will happen.
It will happen.
In the meantime, we're recording this, because we haven't recorded anything in a year.
Mm-hmm. So we're a bit rusty.
Also, we have some new technology that we're using.
You may be able to tell the difference. We're no longer sharing a microphone.
We've got a mic each.
I know.
I've got a mic and a mic.
Stop that.
Sorry.
Stop that immediately.
We've got a ton of other people who we are talking to come in and record episodes with us.
Mm-hmm. Our TBC pile is growing.
Indeed.
It's very exciting times.
It certainly is.
So if you're sick of just listening to the two of us, then good news. So are we. For now, we're going to be bringing to you a new format.
This format was actually, it was an idea of Gary's.
Mm. Yes, that Gary.
That Gary. It was named by Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Badly.
That's how you can tell it's my work.
That's to be determined. But it's called
Audio Phonography.
Like
a biography, but an audio thing. Well, it's basically the music of your life.
And somebody had already come up with Desert Island Dicks, so we weren't going to use that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Pretty much. But it's a really nice idea.
Today we're going to show you how it works.
Yeah.
We're each going to have an episode of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been decided through scientific methods.
Indeed.
That John's going to be being interviewed first.
Hurrah!
And the person interviewing him will be me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. I got my gloves on ready.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that, John.
Yes.
Shall we talk about the beer what we've got?
Let's talk about the beer what we've got.
Because we've both got the same beer what we've got.
This never happens.
Very rarely, at the very least.
Yes. Well, what usually happens is we get the same beer, but I talk about it two episodes later when I finally get around to it.
Yeah, but I'm on my fifth beer already. Yeah.
Yes. So this time, I thought it would be nice if we both had a go on the same type of beer.
Yes, yes, yes. And what we've got here is a raspberry stout called Raspberry Tipple.
Mm-hmm.
Raspberry Tipple by Mad Hatter Brewing Company.
Yes.
Who I believe are Scouse. I'm guessing they're Scouse, anyway.
Are you guessing they're Scouse?
Yeah, I think they are.
Is there anything that confirmed your suspicions?
I don't know, just a feeling.
I very nearly just tipped the bottle up onto my lap.
Yeah.
Considering what's happened earlier.
Yeah, there's definitely kind of a nose ejection.
I've stouted my jeans.
Mm. Already.
Already. I mean,
it's normally a third or fourth episode, though.
Yeah, and it's using my carpet, which bears the stain a lot better.
Mm.
But yes, it's...
I think it's rather delightful.
A raspberry-flavoured stout. It's bottle-conditioned.
Suitable for vegans.
Suitable for vegans.
If you're listening.
Vegans. They
will
tell us.
They will tell us, won't they? Bless. But yeah, it's... The description is very accurate, really. Rich, smooth and roasty stout with the refreshing sharpness of lots and lots of raspberries.
Yeah.
And yes, it is sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm typically used to a fruity stout having kind of a stout up front first.
Yeah.
And the fruit having kind of a supporting role.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I mean, we did have the muffin compares to you stout earlier at Hot Water Cellar.
We did try that. That was glorious.
That was rather a four-way collaboration. Beer is, oh, that was good. But again, that was very much stout front.
Yes.
And then the kind of the fruity flavours
later,
just kind of following up. But this is raspberry right in the kisser.
and then a bit of stout soothing quality.
Well,
after
yeah,
the first mouthful.
I'm digging that. It's a fruity little number.
I mean, I'm on board.
Yeah. Are you ready to commence the procedure, John?
I am so ready to commence the procedure.
Are you suitably anaesthetised?
Relatively, yes.
Marvellous.
My leg is.
Right, okay. Well, first of all, let's get a little bit of background here. Let's talk about your musical upbringing. Like, when you were little, like really little.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you recall from that time?
The main sorts of music I recall is my dad used to play the guitar quite a lot.
Mm.
And he had a really nice shaped jumbo acoustic guitar made by a company called Echo. And it had a really nice fruity sound to it. But he always used to play a lot of sort of folk songs and things on it. When we were growing up, my folks went to church, which meant that I then went to church. And they used to play in like Christian folk bands and things like that. And there's a rather entertaining story that I seem to remember. They had a friend called Paul who I dimly remember.
McCartney?
He wasn't McCartney.
Oh, that's a relief.
He was a flautist. But he also used to sing harmonies and things. And this, I think there's a story that my dad tells occasionally where they were playing at this one particular gathering and Paul started singing a harmony to a song, and it's something that he ordinarily, I think, would have played the flute for.
Mm-hmm.
And the harmony was going fine up until the point where they hit this one point of the song, and the look on Paul's face basically said, "I know how high this is about to go, and ordinarily I'll play it on the flute." But he hit the note.
Go, Paul!
But he was a really nice guy by all accounts. Mm. I very vaguely remember him. Really nice fellow.
I'll be interested in seeing how these early memories tie in with important question number one.
Important question number one. Yes.
What was number one when you were born?
When I was born, the number one was Buggles' Video Kill the Radio Star.
Oh!
I was so...
I'm going to have to stop there for a moment, John, because that is a tune.
Yeah.
The first song ever played on MTV, I do believe.
Is it really?
It is, mate. Yes.
This is really close. The week before, it was The Police with Message in a Bottle,
mm-hmm.
which I'd have been fine with.
It's a good tune.
Yep.
Yeah.
The week after, it was Lena Martell's One Day at a Time. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
And I would have been less happy with that.
Yeah.
I really dropped on with this being the number one. I was so glad about that. But it is a proper good tune.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well then, in that case, now we've kind of already covered a lot of your musical influences whilst growing up, let's go on to important question number two.
Yes.
Because we've already covered the first album that you ever bought,
which
in a previous episode.
Crash Test Dummies, God Shuffled His Feet.
Exactly. So what we're looking for here is the first single you ever bought.
The first single I ever bought.
With your own hard scrounged pocket money.
I had to check this because I wasn't often in the habit of buying singles when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They do
sometimes feel like a false economy.
A little bit. And it wasn't really until 1996 that I remember buying singles.
Well.
And there were two. There were two and I couldn't figure out which one was first, so I had to look it up on Monsieur Google.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the Boo Radleys' Come On Kids, mm-hmm. which was released in October 96.
Yeah.
The first single I actually bought was Crowded House's Instinct from June in 96.
Crowded House, big surprise there.
Not a shock.
Big surprise.
Well, the thing is, I hadn't fully gotten into them at that point.
Yeah.
I wasn't bought the best of until December 90, for Christmas that year.
Oh.
So Instinct came out, and that was the thing that drew me in to getting into Crowded House generally, turns out. And I can even remember, there was Instinct, And the B-sides, there was a song called Recurring Dream, which they'd written and recorded in about 85, 86. And then there were two live B-sides, which was a live version of Weather With You and a live version of Chocolate Cake, both from the same show, I think. And I just listened to them on repeat for ages. And then obviously my folks bought me the Crowded House's Best Of in 96. And then I just started buying in all their albums after that.
Cool.
So yeah, I can remember that really clearly.
So what would you say, important question number three, is the band that truly defines your teenage years?
It's most likely Crowded House.
Mm.
I mean, I was 16 when I bought that single, and that led to the Best Of, and then buying out all their albums on cassette.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to say Supergrass.
Supergrass. Yeah.
I loved Supergrass.
Everyone's second favourite band, famously said on the badge that I had for a while.
Well, because I was always skint, so I never had enough money to buy their albums.
Mm-hmm.
And so I seem to remember that most Crowded House albums were bought for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, I always felt like I never had enough money. My perception of it is I just couldn't afford to get their albums, but I absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my response to the question, Blur versus Oasis, was always Supergrass. So.
But seriously, Blur or Oasis?
Supergrass.
Ever the politician.
Honestly, if I had to choose between the two, I'd choose Blur.
Mm. I'd choose Oasis. I can't stand David Gilmour, but there we go.
Mm. Even despite that,
mm.
I prefer their music.
Yeah.
Mostly. I think we've talked about What's the Story. Have we talked about What's the Story, Morning Glory before? Because that was the thing
at some point in our lives, definitely. But I don't think on the podcast.
Because, yeah, I think I was surrounded by people singing along to Champagne Supernova the way through high school.
This is the problem with some bands. I mean, not wanting to seem pompous about it, but some bands you go right off because of the other people who like them.
Yes.
And for the longest time, I couldn't stand Oasis for that reason. But now that I don't give a shit about what people think of what I listen to and like that, I go back to those. I can listen to, you know, What's the Story. And think, you know, this has got some great tracks on it.
It does.
I can listen to Park Life and think, this is pretentious wank.
and
the same with Modern Life is Rubbish, which a lot of the Blur fans say is their best one. Can't stand it, soz.
Do you know, actually, there's two Blur albums I own. One of them is 13, which has got some really good songs on it.
Is that the one with Song 2 on it?
Yes.
Because I like Song 2. Yeah. It's simple and stupid.
That album has got a song on it called Trim Trab, which is excellent. It goes absolutely fucking mental. I love it.
I'll never turn down a bit of mental when it comes to music. Oh, good times.
That album is
just go off and I'm there.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one to look up, actually. The album I bought, or the album I at least was given, I can't remember whether I bought it or was given it, but it was an album by Blur called The Great Escape.
Was that the one that followed Park Life?
It could well be.
Yes.
And I've just realised that it had a guest sort of spoken word bit by Ken Livingstone. it's a miracle, actually, that he managed not to bring Hitler into it.
Maybe he did, you just haven't noticed.
I'll tell you who else had a really dull routine life. Hitler.
Adolf.
Then he just goes and locks himself in the toilet for 2 hours.
Well, you know what I have heard about Hitler is that he had a few bad days.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a particularly bad day in that bunker.
He certainly did.
But what song do you listen to when you've had a bad day, John?
Oh, sweet.
You see, I segued from Hitler there, John. Respect that.
That was so smart.
I saved it.
I tend to go... Now, up until this point... No, not up until this point. I was going to say, up until this point, we've done quite well for artists that I don't usually mention. And then I just remembered that Crowded House happened just then. If I've had a bad day, I tend to go for music that's a bit of a comfort blanket. And so one of the best artists for that, for me, is Gemma Hayes. And there's a song of hers that is a B-side. I love B-sides.
Mm. It's a true measure of an artist, I think, the B-side.
Damn straight. And there's a song by Gemma Hayes, which is a B-side to one of her earlier singles called Summer's in Doubt. And that's a wonderful little kind of... It starts quite plinky-plonky, and then it just sort of goes into this driving... like sort of distorted guitars and things happen, and this is kind of like fuzz bass and all this sort of stuff,
cool.
Which sounds awesome. But it's a really, really cool song. The lyrics for the chorus are "Gonna make it anyway. It's just a given." And if I'm in an especially mercurial mood, I will change given to gibbon. It's just a gibbon.
You do enjoy your simians, don't you?
I do. Tie a yellow what gibbon around the old oak tree.
What was the first simian you ever bought?
That would have to be a proboscis monkey.
What simian was number one when you were born?
It was definitely the proboscis monkey.
Definitely the proboscis monkey, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So that's what you put on. Is that for all bad days for your... I'm going back to the song, not the gibbon anymore. Yeah. Not the proboscis monkey.
Wouldn't you like to fly in our beautiful baboon?
Yes, exactly. is that a good kind of catch-all song for all of your bad days?
I think I think it is. Mostly, if I'm feeling low and it's been a rough day, I will lean towards listening to Gemma Hayes in some form or other.
Mm-hmm.
And this song always comes up in there. I've got a Gemma Hayes favourites list that I listen to on Spotify.
Cool.
That's kind of, it's like in the first third of it. So,
on the flip side of that, if you're having a good time, if all the planets have aligned and things are going well for you, what song do you put on to help capture that feeling? Important question number five.
Question number five. It is My God is the Sun by Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
Which, again, is probably... If you've been listening to this since we started doing this,
Gary,
it's not going to be a shock.
Mm.
But
Crowded House, Gemma Hayes, Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding!
Yeah. I mean, you've done really well... to have Boo Radleys and Buggles mentioned up to this point.
It's one of those by virtue of when you were born.
Yes. but I think when I've had a really good day, I want something that's really uplifting and it's just got a lot of kick-ass to it. And Queens of the Stone Age bring that a lot. Cardiacs bring that a lot. And I should say, actually, another really big comfort blanket for me was Shea Waters' Jet Planes and Oxbow album. So that kind of went into my comfort blanket music. I went to see them just like two or three months before the Brexit vote.
Oof.
And so I just kind of think back to that time.
Have I mentioned to you what I was doing when the Brexit vote took place?
What were you doing?
I was at Alton Towers.
No way.
I had 2 days at Alton Towers, me and the wife. First day was the day before the vote, so we voted. Was she driving though? I think maybe the first time she drove us there. So we kind of voted, got in the car. She drove us up to Alton Towers. Yep. We had a lovely afternoon on the rides and then into the hotel.
Yep.
And then woke up the next morning, checked the internet. Oh, wank.
Yeah.
And straight on some rides for a really good scream.
That sounds...
So I honestly couldn't have thought of a better place that we could have been.
That's really therapeutic.
It was delightful.
I can remember with me, I was at home, and then I started to see some of the results come through. I saw the Malta result, which was like 90-odd% Remain. And I thought, you know what? I don't think I can stand this. And I went to bed. And then I woke up and saw the result. And when I walked into work that morning, the Friday morning, you know, Father Ted, when Bishop Brennan realises that he has indeed been kicked up the arse.
Yes.
That, and then he's storming down the field with that sort of...
his cape billowing behind him.
Yeah. That was how I came into work. And I seem to remember people kind of treading on eggshells with me for most of that day because I was uncommonly angry.
Mm.
And then...
let me tell you, a few rides on Rita and 13, you know, that does you the power of good when you are right fucking hacked on.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway...
So, my go-to positive song, which I've barely spoken about, as in the same vein that I have a favourite Gemma Hayes songs playlist, I have a favourite Queens of the Stone Age playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every now and again, I'll just set some songs to random.
Mm.
And whenever My God Is the Sun comes up, I almost automatically just go, oh, yeah.
All right.
And it's just awesome. I mean, it really is such an energising song. Same with Kathy Davies' Come Over, which is... that was a close second.
Mm-hmm. Come Over, that's a cracking tune. In fact, that was that not the first track you heard by Kathy Davies?
It might be. It was either that or Clean and Neat.
I think Come Over, that was on that Freebie CD that would get delivered to work while we were working at the Music Zone.
The EMI one.
Yeah, and we chucked it on the stereo that one day. It was like, oh, hello.
I like this.
This is quite good.
Yeah. Well, she's got...
I remember I rather like that song.
She's got...
And Clean and Neat's a good tune as well.
Yeah.
That was a single, I do believe.
It was, yeah. So I kind of couldn't decide which one that was, but Kathy Davies got such a sweet little sort of innocent voice with some really wicked lyrics, which is just a killer combination.
Oh, wow.
But that album, I mean, that album is so kind of shonky and
you've got a slightly ramshackle kind of sound, but tied to really solid, good songwriting and some clever little cutting lyrics.
Yeah.
That's a great combo.
Yeah.
Something it makes it sound effortless, even though you can be pretty certain that a lot of work went into it.
Exactly right.
Brilliant.
And also...
And yeah, that Something Ilk definitely matches that. It's a good album.
I mean, Kathy Davies is great at arranging backing vocals as well. Whether it's her or whether it's other people singing them. She's just got this knack for them. So... I've managed to,
once again,
I've kind of circumvented the song that I actually picked.
Yeah, but now putting all that aside,
yes,
all these songs from yesteryear.
Oh.
What was the last thing you heard that you properly loved? That you really thought this is some good shit, yo.
This is
not actually not that.
No,
this is a very good song. I want to listen to more of this, please.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you.
That's a very difficult question.
Mm-hmm. It's a very simple question.
It's a very simple question, but it's also
for
very
me,
difficult.
You know. But you're the one with the problem here. Don't come crying to me.
Sorry. Yes, right. It is entirely my problem.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, I think, because that's a sentence I need to stop saying. You know, recently, ladies and gents, I got this podcast put onto Spotify, and. As part of the excitement of having done that, I listened back to most of the old episodes.
Mm.
I need to stop saying that's interesting, and I need to stop saying that's a funny thing because.
Mm.
I
probably need to stop going. Mm.
I couldn't find a problem with anything that you might have repeated. As far as the lesson,
all of that got cut.
Ah, yes, John the Merciless. Not Merciless.
Anyway, on topic.
The last thing I probably loved, over the last couple of years, I seem to have found it really difficult to, like, properly love things when I listen to them.
Mm. There it is again. Mm. There's a thing you just said that I'm acknowledging.
And so... It doesn't feel like there's a lot of songs that have kind of got through the shield and sort of got me. There is one song that finally stood out after a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's a song by Don't Call Me Ishmael.
Ooh.
A song called To the Moon. And that song is like being harpooned.
I don't like the sound of that.
Positively harpooned.
Oh, positively harpooned. I don't like the sound of that either. Chafing.
Don't Call Me Ishmael is our listener Gary's band.
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Yes, we're pandering to our audience here.
And I'm pandering so hard that I've got two black eyes.
And you're endangered. And, well, not anymore, apparently.
No, am I not?
No, apparently pandas no longer. Or so I heard.
They finally
probably from a brown bear who's sick of them getting all the attention.
They finally stopped humping zookeepers enough.
That's another panda. Maybe we should hump that instead.
Yeah.
Hey. And now more pandas.
Bloody hell, more pandas.
What are we going to do with these? Feed them bamboo. That's a good idea.
One of my favourite videos is one man trying to give a vaccine to one panda while surrounded by two other pandas.
Brilliant.
They are not up for swallowing medicine because they're too busy just grabbing your face.
They're simultaneously very silly animals and also bears.
Yes.
It's easy to forget that they're bears.
Yeah.
And you could probably quite easily have your face off.
So, well, they won't.
Oh, they're so comical. Boom! In bits. Yeah.
Comically playing with your innards.
Yes. That's the podcast title.
You know, as
Spotify's going to fucking love that.
As we've been talking, I've just been like thinking, I wonder what we'll say that'll make a title.
Comically playing with your innards. The musical.
In space.
Oh, darlings. Anyway, the sequel. So, Electric Boogaloo.
Don't Call Me Ishmael, To the Moon. In the wake of 2016's absolute hellscape.
It was a wank year.
It was a very wank year.
2017 wasn't much better.
It wasn't much
better.
It was
worse in some ways.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Safe as Milk.
Yeah, thanks.
Carry on.
So in kind of the wake of that, I know Gary had a hard time. And I was similarly having a difficult time. And so we'd both kind of talked about it a little bit.
Mm.
And just tried to kind of vent and see if we were both okay. Mm. And To the Moon, kind of, it kind of feels like a culmination of those conversations. And it's made all the more powerful by SBT's singing of the choruses. Because essentially, To the Moon, Gary plays the pessimist and SBT plays the optimist. Close.
It would be nicer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we kind of verged onto to Ronnie's territory.
A little bit. How many candles was that? Carry on.
But the lyrics of it are absolutely beautiful and very much reflect wanting to be optimistic in a time of pure shit. And I'd heard them, I think they'd released it as a single, and I'd listened to it and thought, that's really good. Mm. And then I saw them play it live, and I got a bit of a lump in my throat while they were playing it. And then
that's
they
so glad you said throat.
A lump in my
trousers
ankle.
And carry on, for God's sake.
But they released the album that it's from, I'm Broken But I'm Fine, which is a really indicative album title of where things you know were.
Incidentally, it is actually on my Bandcamp wishlist. It's on my Bandcamp wishlist, and I do intend to buy it. I might buy it tonight. I'm having a few beers tonight, so I'll probably go, hey, drunken Bandcamp shopping spree!
Buying all the Cardiacs and Don't Call Me Ishmael.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
But I their album came out and I bought it, obviously, and I walked into Hanley to go and see a gig. And I thought, this is my chance to listen to the album. You know, so I put on the album, and To the Moon is towards the end of the album. Just approaching, I was just on the outskirts of Hanley. I was almost in the town centre, and To the Moon came on, and I just burst into tears, just as two people were walking the other way.
Brilliant.
Smooth.
I don't mind you, Hanley. I think people are used to worse than that.
True.
You're in Hanley. I think everyone fancy a little bit of a cry when you're in Hanley. A
bit of a cry. Maybe just publicly wetting yourself.
Yeah. I think that's more socially acceptable than crying, actually, in Hanley.
But I did have to pause and just kind of tidy myself up before I went into the gig. But To the Moon is an absolutely perfect track, and it just really resonated with me for everything that had been going on for like the past couple of years on like a geopolitical sort of scale. And it's the last song that I can think of that properly just hit me in the chest and stayed there.
Excellent. Well, that's a very illuminating chat, John.
Thank you.
What I will ask you, though,
yes,
as one little extra surprise important question.
Ooh.
Is there any one of these tracks that you feel best encapsulates you as a person?
Me as a person? I think I'd have
which one comes closest?
I think I would have to say To the Moon. It would have to be Don't Call Me Ishmael. It's the one song that's properly, like, it feels like it's gone through a rib and into a lung.
That's metaphorically a good thing, but literally not so much.
Literally, if it did that, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, we would, but you'd be a lot wheezier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be stout staining your jeans.
There wouldn't. No, it would probably just be lung fluid.
Lung fluid. Which is the name of my next beer. Lung fluid. Anyway, I think I did. You enjoy that experience?
I did enjoy that. Did John
enjoy that experience, listeners at home? If you'd like to enjoy that experience as well,
yes,
please do let us know.
Indeed. Did you enjoy delivering that experience?
Yes, I enjoyed delivering that experience.
That's a relief.
The experience delivery system was fully engaged. I felt I was experiencing it as well.
Yes.
I felt I did.
Yeah, you were there with me.
Literally.
You're literally.
Hi.
Hello.
There you go. No, don't do that.
Sorry.
Your hands are very soft.
Thank you.
Do you moisturise?
No.
Oh. You lucky bastard. Very smooth hands.
I have
a day's work.
What's weird is you're not the first person to remark upon my soft hands.
Excellent.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, it's time to say...
Not faintly creepy bombshell. Jesus Christ.
Right, so it is time to park this episode.
Mm.
And
stow it away for later usage.
And await the next one,
yes.
Which will be Mike's audio phonography.
Fucking hell.
Oh, bloody hell.
That's going to be a thing.
Isn't it?
I'm not sure I've even locked down half my answers.
Kind of free-floating
at the minute.
to be fair, I hadn't locked the last answer down until about 10 minutes before we started.
Hey!
So, you know, we're good. So, thank you for listening. It's nice to be back.
Mm.
And we'll see you again for more.
Yes.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Party.
Who'd have thought, eh, after all this time?
Indeed. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.